Yeah. Oh, yes. This is the Word Church, isn't it? I love this. I'm convinced that we need more education in the church.
Right.
I say that we need to be educated in the Word. Because you got to know why you believe what you believe, and you got to know how to apply the Word, right? Because if you can have inspiration with no education, and that leads to frustration. You know what I'm saying? You ever been to one of those Amway conventions or where you're buying soap or something? Like one of your friends will say, hey, I got this great opportunity to come to my house. And you know they're trying to sign you up for something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You've done it before? I've done it before. You go, yes! So you go to this conference and they hype you up to sell all this product. Right? You get all these boxes at your house of shampoos and oils and lotions. And you still got them sitting there from 10 years ago. Trying to get hyped up? Well, they give you a lot of inspiration. A lot of times in church, it's easy to get inspired but still be ignorant. Do you know what I'm saying? You can get inspired and woo, hyped up, but if you don't know how to live outside these walls, and you don't know what you have access to in God, then it's very hard to live a victorious and successful life, because it's easy to become codependent on the church.
Right. Yes.
And I'm going to say this, there are a lot of people that love the church more than they love Jesus.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's not the same thing, folks. Loving Jesus is not the same thing as loving the church. Without Jesus, there is no church.
Right.
Without Jesus, there is no gospel.
Right.
Without Jesus, there is no hope. Say no hope.
No hope.
But when you have Jesus, you've got everything you need and more.
Right?
And let me just say it like this. What we have to do is get educated in the Word so that we know how to succeed in life. And the Bible in Romans 5:17 says we're supposed to reign in life. Say reign.
Reign.
Let's go to Romans 5:1. If you have your Bible, say I have it.
I have it.
If you're waiting on the screen, say I'm waiting on the screen. Nah, it's okay. You can admit it. I didn't bring my Bible. I'm waiting on the screen. This is the mean people's fault, right? Romans 5:1, New King James Version. Romans 5:1, anybody have it? Read it with me. What does it say? Therefore, being what? We have what?
Peace.
And by Him also we have what? Access. Into which we stand, right? Now let me show you something real quick. He says, we have been justified by faith. Now, if you want to title this, you can title this Kings in Life. Kings in Life. We've been justified by faith. This is going to help you. Justified here means acquitted. Declared righteous. Notice this is after Acts. Right? The book of Acts, we know we repent, we're born again, we're born of the water in the name of Jesus, permitted remission of sins, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, heaven is in our tongues. This is after Acts. And so, the apostle here says, we have been justified. So tell your neighbor, say, that's already been done. Say, you have been acquitted. You have been declared righteous. Now what does that mean? If you've been acquitted, it means you can no longer be tried.
Right.
Oh. So that means you don't have to walk in condemnation. When you understand I've been acquitted by what Jesus did, by His blood, I don't have to walk in guilt. I don't have to live in condemnation. I don't have to live in fear. If they're righteous, I don't have to live because I have been justified by faith. And then it gets better. And then He says, and we have peace with God. Now think about that. A sound, dissolved state of mind. The one that matters the most, God, right? He's the one that matters most. The apostle says, you already have peace with God. Meaning, God is no longer angry at you.
Amen.
When you say that, it helps people process, because a lot of people still feel like, even the church, that God's mad at them. All these bad things were happening. Is God mad at me? He's not mad at you. In fact, the Bible says in the epistles, God has not appointed us unto wrath, what? But to obtain salvation. So you need to become convinced that God loves me. Oh, we know that. Well, God's the Lord. Yeah, but understanding it and quoting it is two different things. The revelation is He loved me and gave everything for me. I am acquitted. I cannot be condemned or tried for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. I am at peace with God. And then verse 2 says, and now I and you have access into this grace. Say favor.
Favor.
Now, one translation, love it, it says that now we have access to and we stand firmly and securely in a state of God's favor. I mean, you live in the state of Illinois. But imagine spiritually that you are now living in a state of God's favor. Firmly and securely. Do you know that nothing can remove you from God's favor? I'm going to show you something. Some of you, this is going to blow your mind right here. If I were to ask most people, what stops the flow of favor? They'd say, sin, right? Well, let me show you something. That's not what stops favor. Now, we're talking about grace, right? It's the unmerited favor of God. That means He blesses you. You don't deserve it. He died for you. You didn't deserve it. Galatians 5:4, Paul tells us, can you put that up there? You have it up there? Don't worry about it. I got it. He's warning the Jews, and he tells them, if you think that you earn God's approval by obeying the law, doing all the right things, he said, you've fallen from grace. Say, fall from grace. You've heard that term before in the media. They'll say, well, this politician, you know, he was elected 20 years ago, but he just recently fell from grace. He had an affair or did something financially that was illegal. And now he fell from grace. Interesting that the way favor and grace works, when you're at your worst, when you make the biggest mistakes, when you've fallen flat on your face, that's when grace works.
Come on.
See, the world doesn't have the right definition. You don't fall from grace, you fall into it. Are you with me?
Amen.
And Paul does not say in Galatians 5:4 that people that sin fall out of favor. Is sin wrong? Yes, sin is wrong. God hates it. It's the transgression of the law. But what Paul says keeps favor from flowing is a person becomes self-righteous and they think because I'm doing all the good deeds, I'm meeting all the laws, I'm checking off all the boxes, now I have God's approval. He says, you're wrong. The minute you think you've earned His favor, you fall from it. Interesting. The way you fall out of favor is you begin to rest in your own accomplishments. Isn't that interesting? Say, wow.
Wow.
Because God resists the proud. That means, one translation says He actively fights them. People that are haughty, prideful. It says that He actively opposes or resists. Now, you don't want to get God fighting you. I'm just telling you right now. Don't do that. Now, you don't want to be on that side. But He said He gives what? Grace, favor, to the humble. And so, let me show you something. So I shared this with Pastor Moore. So a few months ago, I was in my studio, and God showed me Galatians 5:4. He began to talk to me about favor and grace and what He wants to do for His people. How He wants to add abundance and increase to our life. And how all the things that we ever need is finished. So this morning on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished, right? So I said, God, help me understand this principle of favor. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want there to be any restrictions in my life. I don't want to get confident in my flesh if that means it shuts off God's favor. I don't want to do life on my own. I've done that before, didn't do very well. You hear what I'm saying? I know what it's like to be driving the car, shoving Jesus off, and I got this, and I flipped the car. make a mess of my life, then I'm singing Jesus Take the Wheel. After I've totaled the car, right? Running my own life, doing things my way. And so I said, God, help me understand this Galatians 5:4. I said, this is tripping me up. Because what that does, Paul is addressing the Jews because they always want to go back to the Old Testament law. They like that. I want to feel like I'm somehow making myself good. Right? All the good deeds. Here's what happens. Good deeds do make you feel good. And it's good to do good. The problem comes in is when your flesh begins to take confidence in your goodness. Right? It becomes a self-arrogance. And so now favor, God's goodness, can't flow because you're hung up on your goodness. You see? So I said, God, help me understand this. So you're saying that favor, we fall out of favor. And favor encompasses all the blessings of God. Grace does, right? His healing, salvation, provision, it's all, I'm going to show you, it's all in Christ. So if you fall out of favor through exalting yourself in your own good deeds, I said, God, you've got to help me understand this because I've been trained to do good deeds. Right?
Right.
And we're supposed to do good deeds. The difference is, he isn't the one that's taking credit for them. Because the reason that we do good is because he allows it. And actually, after you have the Holy Ghost, it's funny, all the good deeds that come out of you are a product of His Spirit, not you. Because Paul said, in my flesh, there's no good thing. You see, in fact, in the New Testament, Paul talks about sanctifying yourself. In the Old Testament, you had to like separate yourself from certain things. But it's funny, in the New Testament, Paul lets you know it's the Holy Ghost that sanctifies you. Now, this is funny, because you would think, well, I can separate myself from sin. No, you can't. Okay, so you're going to trust yourself to separate yourself from what yourself's addicted to. Does that ever work? Think about that. When you know the Bible says that your heart is desperately wicked, right? It's like New Year's resolutions. That's why I quit making them. Because every time I make one, I still wasn't living up to 3 years ago.
Right.
What's funny? Watch New Year's resolutions. Well, this year, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise. I'm. Confidence in the flesh to change the flesh. Not going to happen. It's only by His blood and by His Spirit, by His grace, that you can become all that you can be.
Right.
All right?
Right.
So, in fact, that's why, oh, help me, Jesus. That's why some people keep committing the same cyclical sins, and it becomes a habit. Like people in the New Testament church, there are people in the New Testament church that still have addictions. Alright? Now some people get healed like that, some people get delivered like that, but there are some people that for years they struggle with things, even after the church, right? Well, why is that? Let me show you what happens. It's so subtle because when you fail, whenever you fall into this addictive behavior, I'm going to show you something. First of all, condemnation comes in, right? Because you know it's wrong. You shouldn't be doing it. Right? Condemnation comes in. And at that point, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful. What?
Yeah.
Like He's ready. Admit you need me. Admit you need me. I'm going to cleanse you. It's interesting, though, that in your flesh, you'll make new resolutions about it. I'm going to do better next time. See that? I'm going to do better next time. I'll pray more. I'll fight it harder. I'll fight. So you see what happens? Your flesh becomes confident in what it can do to overcome the thing it keeps falling to. See how deceptive that is? It wants to be the hero, but yet it doesn't want to give it up either.
Sure.
And it'll have you believe it. No, you can do better. You'll overcome it. Just try harder. And it's this constant cycle. You fall, condemnation. I'm going to try harder. You get back up, trying to do it in your own strength. What happens? You fall. And so that's why you're like, how come? Because you have to rely on the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
Come on now.
The cross and the blood are a defeat of the devil. I told you in Colossians 2:15 this morning. He stripped him of all power. Do you know what? The blood and the cross has already dealt with the devil. The Holy Ghost deals with your flesh.
Come on.
Wow.
You didn't fight the whole. You didn't fight the devil with the Holy Ghost. He's already been defeated by the blood.
Right. Amen.
He's got you in a fight thinking that you're never going to win, and you're not even supposed to be fighting him. He's already defeated.
Right.
Colossians 2:15 says that at the cross and through the body of Jesus, that he stripped the devil, all evil, all principalities of all their power and authority. Stripped them. Didn't it say that? Stripped them. Made a public show of them. One translation says, like a general takes his captives of war and parades them through town. Look at these guys, man. I beat them all. He humiliated the devil through the blood, through the cross. He's defeated. He has no power over a believer, over a new covenant Christian. Now, over unbelievers, he does. But I told you this morning, his only leverage and weapon against you is his lie. Right? The lie that he gets you to believe. He's hoping you believe it. Because that's self-defeating. You start believing and professing what he's saying, you basically self-destruct. But now the Holy Ghost is to help you overcome your flesh.
Right.
Because your flesh was not defeated on the cross.
Hello.
Amen.
That, when you came out of those waters of baptism, your flesh was still very much alive.
Yeah.
Am I talking to anybody? Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, your flesh is very, very much alive. Right? You want to watch it show out? Start thinking about fasting. Your flesh is like, fast? It's funny. Right. Like the day you're supposed to fast, like the day before, you'll start dreading it. Well, why even get out of bed tomorrow? Because, like, lunch is a big deal. It is a big deal to me. Breakfast is a big deal. Lunch is a big deal. Supper's a big deal. And the minute I come to bring this flesh, see, that's what fasting does. It's for you to get control of your flesh.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is to help you become like Him. His nature's formed in you. Christ is formed in you. The hope of glory. Are you with me?
Right.
Let me show you something. So, back to what I said. The devil has already been defeated. Now, how many of you ever had to deal with a bully in school? A bully. You dealt with a bully. Let me show you something. What if you were in school and a bully comes up to you and he starts saying, you know what? I'm going to beat your head here. I'm going to give you fat lip. I'm going to give you black eye. But you know your dad just beat him and his family up. He's still got a little bit of a black eye right here. He's recovering. And now he's threatening you. But you know my dad already beat you and your family down. That's what happened for you. The devil comes to you saying, well, I'm going to take this and I'm going to do that. You're like, dude, my dad already whipped you.
That's right.
Come on, brother.
Yes.
You're wasting your breath. You ain't doing nothing.
Hallelujah.
Greater is He that is in me than He that's in the world. I've been born of God. You are an overcomer. You're victorious.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we've dealt with that. So we know the blood. And thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. It deals with sin. It dealt with the devil. He has no leverage. And Romans says, I'm justified. He can't even use my past against me. So don't you let yourself use your past against you. So I asked God in my studio, I said, okay, this grace favor thing, explain this to me, because you said that if we get confident in our good deeds, that we fall out of favor. And so now favor is trying to get to us and flow, but it can't because of self-righteousness. Show me how this works. So God took me, He showed me a vision of Chuck E. Cheese. You've been to Chuck E. Cheese before? Take your kids here, your grandkids here. My father-in-law says that Chuck E. Cheese is a casino for my kids. That's what it is. You're like tickets. You're like tokens, tickets. I want tickets. And the idea is, it's funny because you want to get tickets to get the prizes behind the counter, right? You've been there before, right? Let's just say that this is powerful. God showed me. God does show me funny stuff, okay? But I'm a little off the wall, so He's got to work with me like that, you know. So He showed me Chuck E. Cheese, and He shows me. He says, "Okay, there's a panda bear behind the counter. It takes 5,000 tickets. 5,000. You're gonna be there a long time with Chuck E. Cheese, and you're enduring all the streaming kids. And man, you just want to get the 5,000 tickets and go home. loud, people screaming and yelling. So you're working hard, man. You're there 3 and 4 hours. And finally, watch this. The Lord says, finally, you've got the 5,000 tickets. You know you've earned the banner. It's mine. In fact, you're pretty aggressive. The joy of the Lord is not your strength in chugging cheeks. You're going to count with your chickens. Now you've got to feed into that little ticket thing. That takes forever.
Yep.
It's like, vroom. He said, you get up there with all your tickets and you know you've earned that banner. And a little kid was walking to the counter and said, one ticket. And he does this. And because the guy behind the counter is good and he's moved by the faith of the boy with the one ticket, he grabs the bear, puts it in the boy's hand. And God said, and now you're offended because you're holding 5,000 tickets. And you could say, that boy did not meet the requirements. Look at me. I've been here 3 and 4 hours and I've worked for that bear. And God told me, he said, the reality is, I want to give you the bear, but your arms are so full of your own tickets. You can't receive it. I require that you empty yourself of yourself so that I can move. Romans 5:17. So we have been justified. Say justified. Been justified, Romans 5, 1 tells us that. We have peace with God, and we are in a state of God's favor. Now I want you to repeat after me, because then I know this sounds redundant. Say, I have been justified.
I have been justified.
Now say, I have been acquitted.
I have been acquitted.
The blood of Jesus,
the blood of Jesus
has set me free. From guilt.
Condemnation.
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure.
I am a son. If you're a son, say, I'm a son of God. If you're a daughter, say, I'm a daughter of God. Say it right now.
I'm a son of God.
I have peace with God.
I have peace with God.
Because of what Jesus did.
God is not mad at me. He loves me.
And now. I stand. In a state.
God's favor.
His abundance is wrong to me. There is no reason why I should have everything. Do you feel it?
Yeah.
Because you have taught yourself out of the great, abundant, blessed life. Jesus said, John 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, if the enemy has his way, he will strip you of everything. Jesus said, I have come. That you would not only have life, but have it more abundantly. One translation says, to the full and running over. I'm telling you, he's the God of superabundance. And what he's trying to get changed in you today is how you think, to where you don't think barely get by. You don't think I don't deserve it. You don't talk yourself out of saying I'm not qualified, I don't have the education. I've made too many mistakes. Will God ever love me? I have these dreams, but I don't think out. Don't let you be the focus. Focus on him.
Amen.
What can wash away my sins?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That on the cross you see his finished work and you say, I believe my healing is finished.
Hallelujah.
Right now, it's not how loud I pray, it's not how much I run around the church, but I believe because he said it's finished.
Come on.
I believe it's finished. And whatever I need financially, whatever I need supply, it is finished. And I am complete in him because he's the head of all things.
Yes.
Romans 5:17. I'm going to show you. This is where it really gets, oh man, I get excited about this. Romans 5:17. You haven't said heaven.
Heaven.
It talks about Adam's transgression. See that? Let's read it together. Is everybody with me? Don't go to lunch yet. Don't leave me here by myself. Romans 5:17. For if by
trespass of one man.
Okay, let me explain this to you. One man, who was the one man that made the mistake? Adam. Notice whenever he fell, he gave in, gave him feet. That wasn't say rain, death was raining. Right? Sin was out of control, death was raining, evil on the planet. But I want you to notice what happened. I want you to notice what happened. Next verse, what does it say? And then next part of that verse, read it. Much more, which receive what? Oh, so he just said, now, yeah, Adam blew it, and that was bad. And death was having its way. Humanity had no hope. But he said, much more, those that receive the abundance of grace.
Come on,
that's us.
Amen.
God's been good to us in this room, hasn't he, folks?
Amen.
He's been good to this church. Those of us who receive the abundance, say abundance.
Abundance.
Does that sound like God's holding out on you?
No.
The abundance of grace, say favor.
Favor.
And, now the word that receive means what? That you, did it say achieve? We don't achieve it, do we? It's a gift, right? The abundance of grace that we receive and the gift of what? Righteousness. Okay? He said, those people will what? They will reign? Does that sound like, well, they'll barely get by? Those folks are going to be struggling the rest of their existence. No, it says they're going to reign in life. Do you know what the problem with the New Testament church is? We don't have people that are reigning.
Come on now.
They're acting like paupers. They have a small mentality, and the Word just told you, when you understand what He's made possible, you will reign in life. One translation says that you will reign as a king.
Come on.
I said, God, help me get this. He said, let me help you understand this. He said, your days on the earth, your lifetime, you don't know how many years you're going to live, do you? He said, but imagine that's your kingdom. I put you in authority over. The same dominion that Adam lost was reinstated by the second man Adam, Jesus Christ.
All right.
Oh my God. And he says, and now the devil doesn't run your life.
Come on.
You run it.
Yes.
Because the King of Kings gave you the authority to be a king over your own life. And I am telling you, you prophesy the word, you speak what the word says, do not settle for living beneath what God said was yours.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, God, help me understand this. He said, okay. He said, I want to show you something. He said, imagine that you are reigning over your life. Now, and he said, what do kings do? What do they do?
Rule.
They rule.
No.
They're not passive. Are they? They're not intimidated. They go to war if they have to. I'm telling some of you in this room, you've got to get way more aggressive in your life. You're tolerating things that God didn't call you to tolerate.
Come on.
I've said you're tolerating some things that God did not call you to tolerate. And in fact, He called you to reign over those things.
Come on.
Why would He give you the Holy Ghost, His name, His blood, and His word? So you can be pathetic and really get by? I don't get that. That's not an overcomer. No. No, no. We have the authority. We have the power of attorney.
Yes.
Do you know what that is? The power of attorney means you're authorized and deputized to do the business of the one who empowered you.
Yeah.
We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. People, the Bible says that we're heirs. Do you know what the heir has access to? Whatever the dad owns.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, you have access to. Oh, I feel faith in you. You have access to whatever your father owns, and he owns everything. Go to war. Kings think global domination. Kings sit down at feasts. Kings have storehouses. We have no idea what all we have access to in Jesus.
Right. Amen.
We reign in life. Now, I know that sometimes you hear this kind of preaching, you're like, man, that's way out there. You're telling me that. And I said, God, help me get this. How do we reign in life? He said, well, the problem is, my people don't know how to reign. They're used to reacting.
Right.
They don't understand I've already empowered them to do what I would do. That's why I gave them my spirit, my blood. I've made a deposit in their life to help them rise above.
Come on.
He said, and in your mind, the minute, he showed me this visual, he said, the minute you let fear, guilt, condemnation, intimidation, your past, get up on that throne in your mind.
Come on.
That you should be sitting on.
Come on.
He said, you begin to bow to it and you serve it.
My God.
When you should be the one on the chair. Let me show you something. The Bible says that when this man Jesus made one sacrifice for sin, that he sat down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Until all of his enemies would be made his footstool.
That's right. Amen.
Why did the writer say that? Because before that, he said, the priests of the Old Testament, they were constantly doing stuff all day. They would stand daily in ministry. They could never sit down. But Jesus, in the New Covenant, when he made one sacrifice for sin, the Bible says he sat down. Why? Because it was finished.
Yes, amen.
No more restlessness. No more wondering. No more sacrifices. And the Bible says that you and I sit in heavenly places.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus.
I would have to wear myself out trying to figure out my life. I would have to have the right plan. I decided to rest in the finished work.
Come on.
Oh, see, now there's revelation. Before there's ever revolution, there's revelation. I am telling you, I'm prophesying in the name of Jesus. If you need to dig into Romans, if you get this, I am telling you, you will not live your life passively. There's stuff right now that's been intimidating some of you. There's stuff that's been taking over your life. And you have thought you were a victim and had no say in it. That's a lie. And the Lord is saying, my people are supposed to reign. I'm telling you, some of you in here, you're too content just being an employee. You should be owning your own company.
Come on, brother.
I believe your business will prosper. You believe it? Expect it. Why? Because you're God's kid. I believe it, don't you? Why shouldn't it?
Amen, that's right.
I just showed you in Romans 5:17 that because we have received the abundance of favor.
Right.
That means it's always flowing. There's no shortage of favor. Where do you need favor in your life? In my finances, in my relationships, on the job. And I want it all.
Come on.
Amen.
That's beautiful right there. It's interesting, you know, when Paul was battling this thorn in the flesh, he said, I asked the Lord to remove it. The Lord said no. And the Lord said, my what is sufficient?
Right.
My goodness. In other words, he's telling Paul, my favor and my goodness is all you need.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, and but Paul's got issues. He's like, well, God, I got this thorn. And the Lord said, my favor is all you need. So then Paul gets this, I love this, he gets this revelation. See, we're always taught in church culture for throughout years, in Pentecost, I grew up in church, we were always taught and programmed that, you know, to please God, you got to do everything right. Right?
Yeah.
Got to check off all the boxes, and you got to present yourself as right.
Yeah.
But I was having issues because I couldn't do that. So, but Paul says, notice Paul doesn't say, okay, now I've learned, I'm going to brag on my strengths. What does he say? When God says my favor is enough, my grace, Paul says, now that I understand how favor flows, it flows in my weaknesses.
Right. Come on.
Favor flows in the areas where I'm deficient. Why? Because I can't make anything happen. So I relinquish control, I trust Him, and I rest in Him, and favor starts flowing. You know that God has already got your future lined out. He's got the day lined out. You don't have to worry about your money or your provision. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Everything comes through Jesus. So Paul says, now that I have this revelation, Pastor Morse, I will learn to boast about my weaknesses.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. You're supposed to put on a good front and impress people. Paul's like, oh, because I realize that favor can't flow when I do that.
Right.
When I put on this facade that I got it all together, God can't even move in my life.
Right.
Because favor is just that. It's favor. You didn't deserve it. You can't make it happen.
That's right.
So Paul says, I will brag on my deficiencies. I'll promote my weaknesses. That way the power of Christ can show up.
Amen.
Because He won't share the stage with me.
That's right.
Amen.
So if we have that understanding, then we should, I would think. Even the areas that I think I got together in, I can say, okay, God, if Your favor flows in the areas where I'm not qualified, in the areas where I'm weak, in the areas where I'm deficient, I'm going to go ahead and admit to you that I'm deficient in every area of my life.
Every area. Come on.
I might think I got it good financially, but I don't have it all figured out. Go ahead and put favor on my finances.
Come on.
Go ahead. I want favor in my health. We walk around our house and share this. I will say, thank you, Lord, for divine health and divine wealth. Hey, man, I believe this stuff. Man, I've seen God do some crazy stuff, and it's funny. It didn't happen because I was good. Now, we're going to close in a few minutes. I'm going to share this with you. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
I want you to let's open up your heart right now. Lift your hands to heaven. Because I'm just lift your hands. I could really go crazy and start preaching. I'm fighting it, man. Because I want you to receive this and understand that favor of God is on your life. You don't have to ask for it. Expect to see His supply. When you get up every day, see His supply. See Him as your healer. He's your Savior. He's your protection. He's your provision. And that you reign in life by Jesus.
Yes.
You're an overcomer. He's done it all for you. Just receive it. We're not good at receiving. Oh, hallelujah. No condemnation then. No more sickness. No more mental health issues. No more staying up late off because we can't go to sleep. No more insomnia. I am telling you, the body of Christ in the earth is living way beneath what God's provided. And we don't have to anymore. Do you believe it? Say, Jesus, You're my supply. Not Washington. Not the politicians. Not my own efforts. Not my employer. Jesus, You are my healer. You're my Savior. You're my Father. I'm your child. You're my provider. You're my banker. You're my advocate. Whatever I need is in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's worship right now. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we've got to wrap this up because we got lunch. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you some scriptures because what you guys got to do if you're taking notes is take the scriptures and read them. Read them in the Amplified Version. Dig into these scriptures. Understand. Let's review. You've been justified. You're free. Free and clear. Right? You have peace with God. You've got peace with the one that matters. Right? You'll work it out with the people that don't like you. You got peace with them. And now you're in the state of favor. God's favor, amen. It's an expectation. I expect to walk in blessings. Right? I don't have to fight and weary myself and try to fix things. He does it. He's my supply. It's all finished. And I'm supposed to reign in life. I want to share something with you real quick, because I know a lot of people, they have this question, but they're like, yeah, but you know, what about my natural needs? What about this whole all-in-Jesus thing, Rob? I mean, that's a lot of times, you know, people, we think that, I'm going to be very careful what I say, but I've heard people say stuff like, they'll say, well, you know what? You can go to heaven sick, but you can't go without the Holy Ghost. Like, God wants you to have the Holy Ghost to be baptized, but you can go to heaven sick, like, because salvation is more important than healing. Like, it's either or. Right? Well, you can go to heaven broke and barely getting by, but you got to have the Holy Ghost to be baptized in Jesus' name. Like, it's either or. Like, salvation is more important than financial, and salvation is the most important thing, but you can have all of it. Right? 2 Corinthians. And you can study this later. 8:9. We'll wrap it up in a few minutes, because I know I'm hungry. Thanks for being patient. Y'all are awesome. Am I helping anybody? I want you to leave here thinking big. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm taken care of. My father owns everything.
Yes.
I want you to be able to say, you know what, no more sleepless nights for me. I'm going to bed in Jesus' name. And the Lord's already taking care of me, just like he did for Adam. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to rest and not stress. And when I wake up, I will be blessed.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 8:9. The writer Paul again, he says, you know the grace, there's again favor, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about this. That though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Now we know what it was like to come to Jesus and say, hey, we've got to pay taxes. He said, go fishing. Right? We catch a fish with coins now. Go fishing. Like, he was never stressed, was he? No. The writer Paul tells us that on the cross, Jesus emptied himself of everything. Was he rich? He was God in the flesh. He already owned everything.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
He already owned everything. Paul says that he who was rich, for my sake and your sake, became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. One translation says abundantly supplied. Here's what happened. On the cross, Jesus bankrupted himself to give you
everything.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Wow. He gave it all up.
Come on.
So that you would be abundantly supplied.
Glory to God.
In every area of my life, we say that in our house too. We'll sit around the evening and I'll say, well, thank you, Jesus, we're abundantly supplied. It's a mindset.
That's right.
It's understanding, I'm abundantly supplied. The Bible says he became sin who knew no sin. Jesus didn't know any sin. But he took our sin that we could become his righteousness. I mean, when you understand how beautiful it is, basically, his righteousness, he put it on you and took all your dysfunction, all your sin in his own body. It's the most powerful wealth exchange you'll ever see in the scripture. He took all your dysfunction, all the disease, all the sin, all the power on himself so that you can be abundantly supplied. And when God sees you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus.
That's right.
You are wearing the righteousness of Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Why don't you stand right now? We're going to pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great move, Lord. The wheels are turning this morning. There's a lot of processing and thinking. Lord Jesus, there are people in here that have big dreams, big hopes, big ideas, big aspirations. And they felt like they were locked in. They felt like it wouldn't happen to them. They felt like their failures were too great. But today this word is gone forth. And now we see we are not losers. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And on the cross, the most powerful wealth transfer took place. We are sons. We are daughters. Lift your hands right now, won't you? I want you to breathe it into your spirit like a breath of fresh air. I'm accepted. I'm blessed and highly favored. And I have the abundant supply of Jesus in every part of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it all go in His presence. I can't fix it, Jesus. I can't fix it. I can't make it happen. You're my source. I said, turn this place into a prayer just for a few minutes. I relinquish control, Jesus. I am tired. I'm weary. My days of being weariness are over. I rest in the hope of my salvation. I rejoice in the Lord because it's finished.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's finished.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is going to unleash some powerful, powerful miracles and blessings in your life where the community can see it. You know you feel His presence when you're in church. You know you feel that. But He is going to bless you beyond your wildest imagination dreams out of the community. I'm talking about favor that you can't wrap your brain around. Because today you started seeing it. I'm going to get out of the way. I'm not going to take credit for this. I'm going to flow with it, go with it, and grow with it. God's going to do it. Some of you have felt it. You felt like you're running a precipice. You feel like the blessings are right behind the door, getting to pour out all over your life. But there's been a dam. That dam today has been broken down in Jesus' name. He doesn't want you to look at your shortcomings. He wants you to see that He's qualified. Look at His sacrifice. Don't see your strength. Don't see your resources. See His supply. If you were not in the first class this morning, I'm going to tell you what I told them. Every bill that you owe, every creditor that you owe money to, your mortgage company, credit cards, it can be your auto loan, every day start listing their name in prayer. Say, thank you, Lord, for giving me favor with some capital one. Thank you for giving me favor. And thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm debt free. Right? Because I am not going to feel obligated to Pharaoh.
Amen.
I'm going to lend and not borrow. I'm talking about the people of God getting in dominion to where they're the ones owning the businesses. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Where you're the one that gets promoted because, like the first class, God has already preferred you. He's already convinced of it, but you're not. And so today, He's trying to get you convinced of it. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir. He gave everything for me, Pastor Morris. I'm not supposed to just go through life with a beat down mentality. I'm an heir of God and joined Him with Christ. He's given me everything. And I'm going to make some more while I'm here. Thanks be to God who's always, always causes us. He always makes us victorious. I am made victorious. every disease in this building has to leave the bodies of the people of God. Rashadabos. The blood of Jesus. The Lamb of God that was slain. The blood that came out of his back on the whipping post was for these people in 2015. Was for the members of Jesus' name Pentecost. Was for the people of this community in Fairfield. The blood of Jesus. People with so much favor and blessings, they won't be able to manage it in their flesh. Then when it starts happening, they're just going to have to say, Lord, give me the grace to know how to facilitate all this. If I put my natural hands on it, I'm going to mess it up. So just show me. We got to get more when we just go with it, flow with it, and grow with it. Don't premeditate, don't preempt God, don't try to. The reason that God did not let Abraham see the ram at first, if you notice, read the King James, the Bible says he went up the mountain, and as he lifted his hand, remember with the knife, the angel stopped him. Yeah. Right? The Bible says after looking at King James that he looked behind him and saw the ram. Notice God didn't put it in front of him. You know why? He'd have walked up the mountain, saw the ram, and sent his boy back home. Because he was there, I got this figured out now. But God waited until he was totally obedient, and right when he needed the provision, God opened his eyes to him. Yeah. I am telling you that your provision's already in place. You say, well, I don't see it. You don't have to see it right now. You'll see it when you need to see it.
Yeah. Right.
And you'll have it when you need to have it. You just obey, you follow God, and God will open your eyes and you'll see it. And the Bible says it was caught in the bushes. And the Lord told me, he said, look, I will set your provision up in such a manner it cannot escape you. You don't got to worry about missing an opportunity. It won't get away from you. God's got a trap. And when the time is right, you're going to see, ah. I'm telling you, it's coming. In Jesus' name, Pentecostal Church. Get ready.
Hallelujah.
Look, all you can do to prepare for what God is sending is get out of the way and let it happen.
Hallelujah.
You hear what I'm saying? The blessing of the Lord makes rich. He has no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord is flowing. It's the blessing. Say the blessing. Say today.
Today.
I leave here.
I
reign in life in Jesus. Everything I do is blessed. Everywhere I go is blessed. My business is blessed. My future is blessed. My children are blessed. My family is blessed. My finances are blessed. Because I am highly favored and God loves me. I guess we're going to dismiss unless you got something to do. If you want special prayer, come up, we'll pray for you. But I appreciate your just receptive to the Word of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.